열어봤어.
도보로리가 토킥 투미 라디오 다다다다다다.
Welcome, 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 geeks and nerds, girls and boys, to a brand new episode of Geek to Me Radio. Tonight, we have not one, not two, not three, but 10 different guests. We'll be talking with the cast of the Netflix series Warrior. Moved over to Netflix, all episodes now available as of February 16th. Hopefully you've checked it out. If not, my interviews are going to make you want to check it out. Stand by.
We're talking TV, comics and movies, and video games. And if you don't know, Star Trek from Star Wars, we'll try to explain. There are 12 doctors, 4 Hogwarts houses, 1 ring rules and more. To be the greatest Pokemon master, you must catch them all.
And for those of you driving around the greater St. Louis area tonight listening to us on the big 550 KTRS, hello to all of you. For those of you who might be streaming us on the KTRS app or on the website, thank you very much for finding us. And of course, if you're listening to us after the fact in the podcast form, I appreciate you finding us there, subscribing. Hopefully you subscribed. Hopefully you've left us a 5-star review. This is a pre-recorded show. As you're listening to this, I am on a plane coming back from Burbank from Transformers Con. It was a busy weekend. They had Planet Comic Con in Kansas City and Transformers Con in Burbank, California. I ended up doing both. I made my way out to Kansas City on Friday, drove back Friday night, hopped a flight to Burbank early Saturday morning, and have been out there the rest of this weekend. So I'm on my way back, but I wouldn't leave you with a best of. No. That's not good enough for my listeners. I love all of you, and I want you to have a brand new show every time you tune in to Geek to Me Radio. So this time, so excited. I was able to do this guerrilla-style press junket that the cast of Warrior did. If you don't know what Warrior is, it's an original concept from the writings of Bruce Lee. Yes, that Bruce Lee. The showrunner and director, Jonathan Tropper, executive produced by Shannon Lee, Bruce Lee's daughter, and Justin Lin, who you might know from the Fast and the Furious franchise. Netflix picked up the streaming rights to all 3 seasons of this series. So as of February 16th, you can see it. Hopefully you have already, because those first 2 weeks are critical. Due to the scheduling, I wasn't able to air this interview until just now, unfortunately, because I had all the stuff going up leading up to the 400th show last week, and hopefully you caught that in my big announcement. We'll talk more about that later on in the hour. But right now, I've got 4 interviews. The first 2 have 3 guests, the second 2 have 2 guests, the way they broke it up into rooms and Zoom rooms, and it was just amazing. You can tell the love for this series from all the actors involved. So my first interview, I'm chatting with Kieran Bew, Hoon Lee, and Tom Weston Jones, who play Bill O'Hara, Wang Chow, and Richard Lee, respectively, in Warrior on Netflix. Take a listen. We're talking Warrior on Netflix. Just got the streaming service for that. 3 seasons of the series can now be viewed starting February 16th. With us right now, we've got Kieran Bew, we've got Hoon Lee, and Tom Weston Jones. Thank you all for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming by.
It's great. This series, it's amazing. I'm a big fan of period pieces. And when I look, all of you have had experience, obviously, starting a period pieces. Kiernan, you were in Beowulf, for crying out loud. We've got, obviously, Hoon Lee was in Mulan. Tom Weston Jones, the amount of period pieces you've done from Dickensian to Troy to The Terror. It's amazing. If you would, we'll start with Kieran. What is exciting for you about working on a period piece like Warrior?
Well, for a start, all of the carousel of characters are all so well-written and well-rounded that they're kind of the leads in their own show. They all intersect very cleverly by Jonathan Tropper's team, so that each person's action almost has an effect on 2 other characters. So everybody's constantly ricocheting off each other. And not only the characters have been written well, they also get to fight each other, which is great for us as actors, because there's nothing that bonds actors like punching each other in the face. Because believe me, the choreography is impressive. But accidents do happen, so we do like to bash each other now and then. So the show it has a lot of heart and it has a lot of depth, because it's hard to make, and we love doing it. And the collaboration is amazing.
And same question for Hoon.
You know, a period piece, it's especially with the new genre of period pieces there, where I think they take elements of fantasy and sci-fi, et cetera, they adopt a lot of the same advantages of those genres, where you can use this different frame to allow people to examine a current issue. And we're dealing with a historical period that, you know, is fraught with racism, with xenophobia, with immigration concerns, all of which mirror the current situation now. But by putting it in this place, I think you give people a sort of a distance that allows them to really think about it and try to process it. And you also introduce them to characters that humanize the very people they may be fearful of in real life. And I think that that's not only incredibly valuable in real life, but to do it in an entertaining way allows people to sort of harmonize that struggle and stress they feel in real life with a more enjoyed, relaxed position.
And Tom, same question?
Well, I think at a selfish level, as an actor, doing anything period, it's very useful because, you know, your imagination can be sort of hemmed in a good way because there's a wealth of source material out there. For instance, in season two, when Lee was going through all of his opium issues is the word I was going to use for an understatement. But yeah,
his OI.
There's first-hand diaries written by so many different people. Everybody kept one back in the day, it seems. You've got a wealth of real stuff that you can embrace. But I don't think what's wonderful about this show is it's not that one thing. It's pulpy. It's a variety of different genres thrown into together. So it's a period show, but more, really, is the way I kind of view it.
and to stick with Tom for a moment, I know your parents were drama teachers in Dubai. Was that kind of like becoming an actor? Was that going into the family business in a way for you?
In a way, yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, my parents, they did, give me a big pinch of salt going into the whole auditioning game for drama schools and things like that. But they supported me hugely throughout the whole process too. So I'm incredibly grateful to them for that.
So I was going to ask if it's difficult, because obviously people are always worried about getting their parents' approval. Actors are automatically worried about everyone's approval. So I wondered if it was like a double barrel hit for you.
Oh my God, I feel so seen.
Yes, by everybody. Well, do you know what, actually, although my parents are and were involved, that they've never really put any pressure on me to succeed. So there's just been support, really.
And
so
you haven't. So that's good.
I am shocked that your parents are acting teachers. I had no idea.
Yeah.
We thought you'd be better.
Yes.
I feel like I've opened a can of worms here now. I'm sorry, Tom.
We're mildly giddy to see each other. Just, you know, we speak often, but this is a lovely treat for us to see each other as well. So,
and talking about acting, Hoon, you played the king in the Lincoln Center production of The King and I, one of my favorite musicals of all time. As someone growing up, was that something that was on a bucket list role for you? Because I've got musical theater roles, and like, I'd love to play Harold Hill. I'd love to do this, but you got to play the king. Talk a little bit about playing that role, if you would.
Obviously, it's for one thing, there aren't that many roles growing up where you kind of go, hey, maybe someone would consider me for this. So that kind of makes it something that sits at the forefront of your consideration. But to be honest, I came to acting quite late. I didn't think I was ever going to be an actor. So I didn't grow up with any expectation of doing any role or any particular hope. And by the time I did start acting, which was sort of, you know, in my very late 20s, almost 30, the thing I was mostly interested was working with people that I really love. But, you know, the Warrior cast is exemplary of this, but also, you know, encountering a challenge, something that really forces me to grow. And, you know, trying to fill Ken Watanabe's shoes in that production, be opposite the great Kelly O'Hara and Ruthie and Miles, you can't ask for more challenge than that. So that was a real dream.
And Kieran, some of the stuff you've done, we studied Beowulf when I was in college, obviously one of my lit class and everything like that. But I've got to ask you, because I'm a Doctor Who fan, and you got to work with my favorite Doctor, the 12th Doctor. So Kieran, talk a little bit about working on Doctor Who, this iconic series that's been going on for over, it's coming up its 60th year this year. Talk a little bit about working on that show, if you could.
It was absolutely insane. Peter Capaldi. Peter Capaldi is somebody who I'd seen in lots of different other roles. Malcolm Tucker, his sweary politician. He couldn't be more different than that. He's the nicest guy. There was a moment when I was on set and we were both dressed as spacemen. We were in the TARDIS because it was next to where we were shooting. We walked around and Peter had an electric guitar and an amp. And I play guitar. We've been talking about music. And he started playing Jumping Jack Flash by the Rolling Stones on his guitar. And we were discussing music and I'm in the TARDIS with Doctor Who, Peter Capaldi. And I thought, oh my God, there are fans that would kill to be here, you know? He was an amazing guy. I'm used to seeing actors graft and work hard, but watching Peter hold that whole show together and work as hard as he did with an injury actually was pretty phenomenal. It was a real experience. Yeah, Doctor Who's amazing. I do a lot of work for Big Finish as well, which is the radio stories of Doctor Who. So absolutely. I've worked, about six different Doctors now.
Oh, nice.
It's always pretty exciting. In fact, yeah, I was working with Matt Smith earlier in the year, they're all incredible people. Each one, I can see why the fan base is so avid and why the people get cast as that role, because they were all pretty special people.
Yeah, Peter, I met him once before. He's a brilliant guy, super nice. My only Doctors I haven't met so far are Tom Baker, Jody, and Shooty are the only ones I haven't met yet.
Oh, wow.
They're on
Tom
the
Baker
list.
You've almost got the whole set.
Tom Baker always brings macaroons, and he always brings macaroons, and he has better anecdotes than Hoon, which is saying something. I mean, he is amazing. He's an incredible guy. Yeah.
I'm going to reach out to your publicist because I could spend an hour with each and every one of you. But Kieran Bew, Hoon Lee, Tom Weston Jones, I appreciate your time so much today. Thanks very much.
No worries. Thank you.
Pleasure. Thanks, mate.
Take care. Be well.
Cheers.
Thank you, too.
Such a great group of gentlemen right there. Very talented people. And they just, when you see this series, hopefully these interviews will make you want to go see if you haven't already seen Warrior, if you didn't see it before, or since it's migrated to Netflix now, you can stream all three seasons, because I would love, I'm already like almost done with season one and I cannot wait for a season four. Hopefully that happens. Hopefully you guys can make it happen by going to Netflix and streaming all three seasons. We're going to take a very quick commercial break. We'll come back chatting with the next group, Andrew Koji, Chen Tang, and Jason Tobin. Right after this, you're listening to Geek to Me Radio. Please stand by.
Hey kids, are your parents about to buy you a shiny new toy from Amazon?
Hi, I'm Chucky. Wanna play?
Well, don't be selfish. Share some of that money with us. Before going on Amazon, make sure to type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser. It will look just like Amazon.com, except it'll say referral Geek to Me Radio up top. And then when you check out, a tiny percentage will go to support the show without costing you 1 cent more. So before your parents get you that gizmo, gadget, or widget, make sure they type in bit.ly/geektome in the web browser.
bit.ly/geektome
Hey, this is Sean Cannon, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio, and if you're not, well, then your karate's a joke.
Welcome back to Geek to Me Radio every Sunday night here on the Big 550 KTRS, streaming online. Go to our YouTube page, youtube.com/geektomeradio, and hit the subscribe button and the bell notification. That way, every time we do go live, especially if we have video, you'll get a notification that a new show is coming up and you can tune in and watch us there, or on Facebook, facebook.com/geektomeradio. Whenever my brilliant executive producer, Joey V, is in the studio with me, he runs the video and he does a lot to make this show sound and look as good as it does. So my thanks to him. And of course, thanks to Bugs Comics and Games, the official comic book sponsor of Geek to Me Radio. I've been going to Larry to get my comic books for over 30 years now, because I started when he had his store way back when on West Florissant. He closed it down, went and did some teaching. He's a professor, does acting and everything like that. But he came back to open Bugs Comics now on Bryan Road in O'Fallon. I'm so glad he did, because I'm like I'm like a 14-year-old kid again going to get his comic books, not ride my bike up there anymore. Thankfully, I can drive. But if you haven't been to his store yet, I don't know what you're waiting for. Check it out on Bryan Road in O'Fallon, Missouri. Easily accessible from either Highway 70 or from 364. I always say it's not a comic book store if it doesn't have back issues. And boy, does he have back issues. Just boxes and boxes and boxes to fit any kind of thing you're looking for. If you're trying, I want to find this little hole in my collection, you might flip through the dollar boxes and find it there. Or he's got books in his case. If you're like, oh, you know what? I really want to get the first appearance of Punisher. Or boy, wouldn't it be great to have the first appearance of this character or that character. Go check out what he's got there, because it's going to be something to fit every budget. Whether you're getting into collecting again for the first time, maybe you haven't been collecting for a while and you want to get back into it, or maybe you just want to go someplace new to get your new comics. Maybe your local comic book store closed down during the pandemic. Check out Bugs Comics and Games. Join the Avengers Club so you start saving money, and tell them to get a weekly pull list so you never miss an issue. Do that and you should be well taken care of and to enjoying this great hobby called comic book collecting. It's a great place to go. Give them a like on Facebook, Bugs Comics and Games on Facebook, and also find him on Instagram. If you're out of town, he puts books up there that he has for sale, so you can just say, hey, yeah, I want that one. I want that Crow comic book, or I want that, whatever the comic book he's got. He just put a bunch of them up. He's got the Barbie comic book from the early 90s. He's got some of those up there, too. It's a fantastic, fantastic store. Bugs Comics and Games. Very proud to have them as the official comic book sponsor here on Geek to Me Radio. That said, we're talking Warrior on Netflix. 3 seasons have dropped. You can catch them all, and I highly recommend you do. My next group is standing by. Right now, talking Warrior still, we've got Andrew Koji, Chen Tang, and Jason Tobin joining us to talk about this show. Again, you can binge it all on Netflix. 3 seasons starting February 16th. I thank you very much all for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you, James.
To go down the list, I just wanted to talk, because this is the atmosphere in this series is just incredible. It's a period piece, but they've got elements of other, it oozes atmosphere, as I said. So I want to talk to you all, if you would, just kind of talk about working in a period piece. I know, Andrew, you've done Peaky Blinders, and Chen, you were in Mulan. Talk a little bit about your work in, what draws you to a period piece, per se. We'll start with Andrew.
What draws you? I don't know. I think a lot of your journey as an actor is the job, you know, the jobs you're supposed to work on will be the ones you end up working on. So I don't know if I don't really have the choice of going, I just want to do period, you know. I think I'm just blessed that I think we'd be able to do this, tell this period of history that is so overlooked and really a lot of people don't know if that a lot of these stories that are in Warrior are based on true bits of history. So I think that's mainly the things I'm just very blessed and that we get to tell this part and do it in such a cool, unique fashion. So yeah, that's more what I'm thinking, you know, that it's, I didn't choose to be in this period thing. This kind of Warrior kind of somehow conspired to choose me, chose us. And that's what I'm grateful for.
And so I guess I should have said, rather than what draws you, I should have said, what is it if as an actor that appeals to you about working on a period piece? So we'll start this one with Chen.
Great suits. Great suits. These people dress so well. No, seriously, though. I think the production design, set design, costume, makeup, oh my gosh. They were just incredible. We could walk through. That every day I would pinch myself. Sometimes we'd like sneak up on set in the middle of the night. We're doing a night shoot. Just like sneak around and like go into like little doors. And everything is like perfectly laid out. It just draws you into the world, which is, is what I got into acting for, to play make-believe.
Yeah.
And it's so easy when you're just kind of just walking, literally walking there. It's a full-on town. It's like 8 blocks.
Yeah.
So that was just, it's fun. It's fun. Great suits too.
Yeah. And Jason?
Yeah, your location and time period, they play a character in the show. And what's really amazing, what I really enjoy about doing a period piece is you're literally time traveling.
Yeah.
And when you're a show set in a modern setting, you know, you can just get away with the way things look right now, right? But when you're doing a period piece, every detail needs to be manufactured and made and created. And so, you know, again, you know, going back to what Chen just said, you know, the Chinatown backlot, particularly when it's lit and it's at night and maybe there's a bit of rain or a bit of drizzle, and everyone's, you know, in costume and the lights, like you, I mean, it's a kind of a cheesy word, but it's magical, you know?
And Andrew, yeah. I saw, I can't remember, it may have been on your IMDb page, but you said that this particular role in Warrior changed your life. You were on the verge of maybe even giving up acting, if I remember correctly what you said. But you've gone on to do Bullet Train, which was one of my favorite films of 2022. You played Storm Shadow in Snake Eyes, which as an 80s kid would have been, to me, a dream role. Talk a little bit about how, I guess, the story, that not giving up, keeping it going, that's kind of what I got from your interview clip that I saw.
The story, not giving up. Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of, yeah, there's persistence to it. There's persistence in this, in any, I guess, thing worth having and dreaming of, or anything you want to go for in life. So there's persistence to showing up and keep doing it, even on days where you feel like it sucks, or you suck. And so, and I guess having faith as well, it's kind of a mix of the both, but being persistent and then having faith that at one point, you know, it'll click. And that also having faith in the grand scheme of things, in the bigger picture, is like, what's meant for you will be for you, you know, because I didn't think Warrior was right for me at the time. Season one, I was like, I'm not Chinese. I'm not, I hadn't been training martial arts for about 7 years at that point. So I didn't think it was right for me. And
wow.
Now we're here.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah. I just talking about the fighting, the choreography, obviously fight choreography, to me, you have to learn your lines, but then learning fight choreography on top of learning lines, it's almost like double duty. Is it, we'll go down the line again real quickly. Is it more difficult fight choreography than actually having to learn and memorize one's lines and everything? Or is it just part of the job? We'll start with Jason on this one.
They're both challenging in their own way, you know. For me, I'll be honest. Out of all the guys that I have to fight and girls that I have to fight, I'm probably the one that takes the longest to learn my choreography. You know, people like Joe and Andrew and Chen, like they just, you know, they learn it, and you know, it's so I have to, you know, go over it, you know, slowly and methodically and over again. So, but fortunately, when you watch the final product, no one has to know that.
And same question to Chen.
Man, Jason, you're being too hard on yourself. I know I'm the one that takes the longest to learn the fight choreography. I'm in there with like few physical skills compared to some of these world-class martial artists and people like Joe and Koji. I'm over here looking at them. I'm like, wow. Let me see how I can get away with trying to look good next to him, not look like I suck. And so I think fight choreography is hard. Learning lines is, you know, what we do, but they're both challenging. But I'll say this, the bigger challenge for me was the physical preparation, because you there's a real chance you can get hurt. You have to recover. You got to train. Yeah. This is a tough job, you know? So we were in that gym like 5, 6, 7 hours, 8 hours a day, you know? And just trying to, like, and I was just trying to eat right, trying to recover and do my sports massages and physiotherapy, because we really, it really did feel like being like a tiny bit of being like a pro athlete. And that was the most challenging part for me.
And yeah. Andrew, I know you trained professionally, or at least you're trained in all these martial arts as well. Is it vastly different doing actual training to do this versus the fight choreography? Because you have to see each punch, it has to be captured from a different angle. Is it harder than actually, I don't want to say harder than, but is it equivalent to learning in real life, or is it a different set of skill?
Slightly different. I mean, pro athletes, pro martial artists, I think they train nuts, but also their life is catered to that. I never lived the life of a pro athlete, and yeah, you're right, Chen. It's like we are essentially kind of living that life for that bit of time, but obviously we don't have the thing of years and years and years of that, and a team around us and all this stuff that's very formed for Warrior. And obviously the main kind of difference is that it's for film. So we kind of, the training is essentially kind of similar, except we're not training one specific discipline. We're training, you know, Jason's doing his knives, Chen's doing his whip, and then you're training a mix of different kind of martial arts because you have to work on your punches and kicks or your striking and or what have you. But then the choreography, but I guess the part of that is to put your own stamp on that, which I think, Chen, you did a bang-up job, and Jason, you know, we all know, we love you, you did a great job. So you have to put your own stamp on that in terms of movement and also interpretation of the choreography. So you get given the certain choreography, you might give an input here and there, but then you have to kind of find tune it. So that's obviously different. Obviously, a pro fighter is just in the ring and or on the mats, and they're just, you know, doing their thing. And it's a very different set of skills. But yeah, so for this, it's a combination of all these different things for an intense period of, for an intense, relatively, you know, short period of time, six-ish months or what have you, that you have to very quickly just go, you build up obviously within a month or two before you start filming, but just, and then you're on this level for a while. There's a lot of challenges to learn and a lot of different things to come, you know, to you come across. Yep.
That was a great answer. And like I said, I'm such a fan of all three of you gentlemen, and I could sit here and talk to you each one for an hour about your career. Really quick, I do want to ask Chen, because I'm an Agent of Shields fan. I love Marvel and DC, it must have been a dream come true to work on that series.
It was it was one of the great memories of my life. It was just so fun. You get to just like play in like a comic book, you know?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And you had a great cast in the episode you were in too. I mean, it was just with Patrick Warburton was in that one, if I'm not mistaken. And Jake Busey was in it too as one of the agents. So yeah.
Jake. they were a fun family too. They were a fun family.
I can imagine. And it seems like you guys had a great family too on the set of Warrior. Again, all three seasons streaming on Netflix starting February 16th. Andrew Koji, Chen Tang, Jason Tobin, thank you all so much for your time today. I thoroughly enjoyed speaking with each of you.
Thank you very much,
Jason. Thank you so much, James. Shout out to them. If they like that show, man, smash that double like.
Right.
Smash that double like. Completion rate all the way through first 2 weeks, most important if you want a season four. That's how we might be able to get it done.
That's what we're hoping. Season four, Netflix picks it up directly. Thank you, gentlemen. Have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Cheers, mate.
Thank you, James.
Be well.
Cheers.
Thank you, James.
Another great group of people. Man, Andrew Koji, I could easily do a show just with him. Bullet Train was one of my favorite movies. He played Snake Eyes, for crying out loud, in Storm Shadow, plus Peaky Blinders, all those cool things. And then you got the stuff that Chen Tang has done, like Mulan, for crying out loud, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. We talked a little bit about Jason Tobin from Fast 9 and Tokyo Drift, I believe, he's also in that one. And also, I didn't get to ask him about working with Chris Farley of Beverly Hills Ninja, but all these people are fantastic actors, fantastic people. So hopefully you're enjoying the interview so far. We're going to take another quick break. We'll come right back and chat with my next group. We've got Olivia Cheng and Perry Young on deck. You're listening to Geek to Me Radio on the Big 550 KTRS. Please stand by.
Viewer beware, you're in for a scare.
Hello, this is Kari Payton, King Ezekiel from The Walking Dead, and I encourage everyone to listen to Geek to Me. It's a lovely program. Would I ever steer you wrong?
Welcome back to the show. We just got two people in this next group, so I was able to talk a little bit longer, because when you've got a bunch of people in a room and you've only got 10 minutes, it's hard to get everything in that you want to talk about. So luckily, it's a little more relaxed with my next two guests. We're talking with Olivia Cheng and Perry Young from Warrior on Netflix. Again, you can binge this entire 3-season series on February 16th. And those first 2 weeks are critical. So watch the whole thing and we might get a season four. Who knows? Thank you both for your time today. I was looking over all this stuff and I told the last group too, I could easily have each one of you on my show for an hour and talk about your careers. It's amazing. We'll start with Olivia, because I'm a huge fan of obviously DC and Marvel Comics. You got to play Linda Park in Arrow and Flash, which those shows were fantastic. And in the comic books, that's such an amazing character. When you were brought on, did you know anything about the character of Linda Park? Or was it just kind of you went by the scripts and that was how you informed your character?
I knew a little bit about Linda Park, but it's definitely not a role that I think I can really speak to because I got cast on Marco Polo, so that part was actually recast.
Oh my gosh, okay, so IMDb got that wrong.
I was Linda Park for one little episode, like a little teaser crossover between Flash and Arrow, yeah. I think I can't remember what it was. But after that, I wasn't available and the role was recast.
Gotcha. And we're talking this with Warrior. It's this glorious period piece that just the atmosphere and the ambiance of this is almost a character unto itself. So I'll ask you each one of you, what is for you personally as an actor the most rewarding thing about working, not necessarily just on Warrior, but on a period piece where you've got this amazing set and this great atmosphere? We'll start with Perry.
Wow. You know, the art direction, the costume, the cinematography, everything about this show is so beautiful. And they really captured this late 60s, 1869 in San Francisco quite beautifully. I mean, everyone who sees the show, watches the show says, you know, oftentimes I go back just to look at how beautiful everything is. So, you know, I enjoy wearing these costumes, you know, the wardrobe. It makes me look better than I've ever looked. So it's quite a privilege to be a part of such a talented, you know, visionary designers of the show.
I think for me, it's not only working with, you know, this incredible cast of folks where we just have such a shorthand and we have such a genuine friendship between all of us. It's also working with the incredible, you know, crews behind the scenes from Moran Meyer with the, you know, costume design, which was a big part of Auteur and getting these couture looks every single scene, to working with the incredible stunt teams out of South Africa, you know, with the HITS International team and Emmy-nominated stunt coordinator, you know, Brett Chan, and getting to, you know, train and be athletic. There was just so much about this show that was so fulfilling.
And I wanted to ask you something, Perry. I noticed you are a multi-award-winning flute craftsman, which is obviously different from just a flautist. That I assume that not only you play, but then you make the flutes yourself. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. I specialize in the Japanese shakuhachi flute. I got multiple grants, NGOs to go to Japan to study. My main master is Kenya Sogawa. But that was right when I got detracted from theater to film. I was a Japanese flute maker. And I found a niche business in it. And I just, you know, I loved it because it was about Zen meditation, right? And the flute just changed my life, you know? So when I got back into acting, I brought the flute with me everywhere, you know, into my trailer, because it just really grounds you, you know? And shooting season one, Diane Woodrow, one of the producers, said, "Hey, what's this about you being a flute maker, you know? And I want to know more about that." You know, so she's following my Instagram. I said, "Oh yeah, she must be asking about all my you know, that world." And I said, "It's a whole other world, right? It has nothing to do with entertainment." But she goes, "Send me something." And I went, "Oh, what she wants to maybe hear the sound of the flute in the soundtrack." I said, "Great." So I recorded something. I put a hip hop drum beat to it and I sent it to her. She said, "Oh, that sounds amazing. I've never heard anything like that." 2 weeks later in the script, Father June is playing a flute. So if you watch during season one, right before the big fight, Father June is gathering the spiritual energy to win the fight, right? So he's playing the flute. And then it turns out they liked it so much, they had me play for the rest of the season. So every time you see Father June, you hear the flute, and it's Father June's theme, right? To where I even played under my funeral, right? So that's kind of the first where an actor actually is a musician that underscores his funeral in the season three.
So spoilers, there's a funeral if you haven't watched. That's all right. And I'm fascinated because Olivia, evidently, again, make sure I got this right, you were at one point a TV reporter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
What decided you make the switch from journalism to acting?
You know, I think it was I think growing up, I would hold play readings at recess, and I was a really good student, so I would get special permission from teachers to not write essays, but I would write movie scripts and then shoot little short films or do, you know, play performances to present the material. So I actually think that I was an actor, but I didn't know that. I didn't recognize that. I didn't have, you know, the community or, you know, the art world and education readily available to me to recognize that this could be something that could maybe be a career one day. It was just a hobby. And so when I chose broadcasting, it was the only thing I think that was available to me growing up in Edmonton as something that was even close to performing arts, which was something that, you know, other specialer people are able to access and do. It was just not something. So I went into broadcast journalism. I loved it. It gave me a really distinct skill set, but I still loved acting, even though I didn't recognize it as being a real livelihood at the time. And then I was really fortunate that Robert Duvall came to Alberta with a production called Broken Trail, which went on to be nominated for 16 Emmys. I think it won the Golden Globe for Best Miniseries that year. And that's what launched me fully into acting and had me like pack everything I could into my car at the time and drive to Vancouver, where I got an agent, and here we are today.
Wow. And I know, Perry, you talk about TV series. My goodness, you've got Gotham, Royal Pains, which is an underrated series, in my opinion, Limitless, The Blacklist, but playing in The Nick, another period piece, slightly more in the future from what Warrior is, but you had a huge success with that role. Talk a little bit about working on The Nick, if you could.
Oh my God, that was a dream come true. You know, like I mentioned earlier, I took a little hiatus from acting because it was just, had two children and they were like, somebody's got to like stay home with them, right? And you know, my acting career was just sort of like, it didn't really pay the rent in theater. So my partner went to grad school, but so I stayed home. And, but by the time my oldest was 10, I had enough room to sort of like, you know, pursue acting again because I could sort of think about lines and all this stuff. So, you know, I saw an audition for The Nick, I self-submitted, and they cast me. It was amazing. I never thought that would even, you know, happen. And, you know, like the character asked, character breakdown asked for strong Chinese accent because it was 1889 New York City. And it makes sense that he would have a strong accent. So I went, oh, you know, this could be a stereotypical role. So I had to figure out how to approach it. And so I learned the accent. I did the audition. They cast me. And then on set, working with, you know, Steven, you know, like actors just have to block the set, rehearse before they shoot. And Steven said, let's rehearse. So we said our lines. We walked around the space. The camera followed us. And when he said action, I said my lines with the accent, and Steven just went, oh, cut, wait. I like it. I like you better as Perry. Let's do it as Perry. So it was amazing, right, for an Asian American actor to do this sort of period piece without an accent. And thank you, the heavens above. I mean, I literally heard the angels sing. And it went, that's because Steven is an artist, and this is his set. He makes those calls right away. He doesn't have to conform to what the suits say. This is the formula. We need this. He's in the room with us. He likes me as Perry. It's going to play better on camera. Let's do that. So it was like a moment where then now I'm shooting all my scenes as Perry and not the accent. So I had to kind of figure out how to do that. You know? And it was just, you know, like I just really, it just kind of blew me away because I really didn't know what I was doing at the time. I felt like I was new to television, the camera. I was from a stage, and then to sort of like figure all of that out and listen to the direction and you know, just kind of hone into who I am, you know, because at the end of the day, the best advice I got was just be yourself, be simple, be authentic, right? So I did that, and you know, lo and behold, I guess people liked me, you know, and I became sort of a fan favorite. Like, yeah. I had never known that I would be a fan favorite ever, you know. And so I was, you know, lucky to have a good friend, Cole Suddeth, a great actor who was just tutored me as I went along. And oh, shoot, I forgot to time us, but I think we're out of time.
Oh, okay. That's fine. That'll do. I like I said, I can talk to you both for an hour each. This is fantastic. Right. Thank you so much for your time today. Well, hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. Good. Be well. You too.
Bye.
Bye. Olivia Chang and Perry Young, very, very cool people, very talented people. This entire group is talented. So again, I know I keep repeating myself, but I cannot tell you the last time I've enjoyed a show this much, and I'm only about three quarters through season one. It's amazing, the glorious, just the atmosphere, the period piece, the costuming, the martial arts, the fighting. It's fantastic and a well-written story with excellent characters, excellent acting. I give Warrior a 10 out of 10. If you're looking for something new to watch, it is violent. Just to warn you, there is some nudity, so you might not want to watch it with the kiddies, but it's a really well-done show, and I can't recommend it highly enough. We're going to take another commercial break. We'll come back with my last group. We'll talk with Diane Doan and Langley Kirkwood right after this. Please stand by.
Hey, this is Yuri Lowenthal, but you may know me recently as Peter Parker / Spider-Man, and you're listening to Geek to Me Radio.
Welcome back to the show. Geek to Me Radio, brought to you every Sunday night by our premier sponsor, the Greater St. Charles Convention and Visitors Bureau. Discover stcharles.com. That's discover stcharles.com. You may have heard my big announcement last Sunday for our 400th show. We're doing a Comic-Con, people. We're bringing it here. And we're going to have it along North and South Main Street in St. Charles. It's going to be so much fun, and we're so excited to tell you. We've already got three-time Eisner Award-winning artist Rick Burchett coming. And, of course, the voice of Wonder Woman, Susan Eisenberg, will be there as well. We're going to be dropping announcements as to who else will be appearing as the year progresses. So mark your calendar now for Memorial Day weekend, the 23rd through the 25th of May, 2025. We'll have more information as it becomes available. Two Rivers Comic Con. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. The number 2 Rivers Comic Con. You can't miss it. And I can't think of a better place to hold it than St. Charles. Historic St. Charles is fantastic. They've always got something going on, whether it's Christmas traditions, Legends and Lanterns, their new Once Upon a Valentine Day Festival. Hope you able to experience that last month in February. That's a brand new festival, and we'll be seeing more of that in the coming years as well. But they've got food truck days. They've got, even if there's not something, air quotes, going on, there's always something going on between the shops and the restaurants, and just walking up and down those cobblestones, hanging out, taking your dog for a walk, just soaking in the ambiance and the atmosphere. It's a great place to visit, whether there's something big going on or whether it might be just a little festival. St. Patrick's Day, I'm sure they'll be doing something big for that. Check out their Instagram page, because they're very, very good on Instagram. They always post something that there's, hey, have you seen this hidden gem yet? Hey, have you visited this bookstore yet? And they highlight the festivals. So Instagram, just follow Discover St. Charles on Instagram. They're very active there. And of course, if you're planning a trip, check out the website, discoverstcharles.com. That's Discover St. Charles, stcharles.com. As we always say, it's an historically good time. For my last set of interviews from the Netflix series Warrior, we've got Diane Doan and Langley Kirkwood, who play Mai Ling, and Walter Buckley, the two behind the scenes, the shadow people pulling the reins of power. Very cool dynamic between these two actors during the show. And I was so excited to talk with them as my final group. So let's get into that. Right now we have Diane Doan and Langley Kirkwood with us talking about Warrior again on Netflix. As of February 16th, you can binge all three seasons. And if you do, maybe we'll get a fourth season from Netflix. Thank you both for your time today. I appreciate talking to you.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here. Thanks, James.
I've already asked the other groups. I'm curious to hear your thoughts from the two of you. Working on a period piece is just, I would imagine as an actor, such a rewarding experience, because you get to play in a completely other time era, not just as a new character. And I know you both done them. Obviously, Diane has done Vikings, and Langley, you worked on King Solomon's Mine. So talk a little bit, if you would, each one of you, about working as a period piece on Warrior. We'll start with Diane.
I mean, the history that was embedded into our storylines really brought to life, you know, the stakes and the emotional kind of mindset where we were entering. In terms of, you know, with Atoy and Mai Ling's character, our costuming and our makeup wasn't necessarily period. We got to really take control of that and kind of create our own little worlds. And I think that actually helped to kind of, we were able to kind of take off and further build our relationships with our characters. So I didn't feel like I was, you know, strapped down by the period and making sure that it was necessarily very not appropriate, but I didn't feel held back by the period. But it was, I mean, incredible. We talk about our set designers and our production, our whole crew. Everyone is so talented. The fact that we built out San Francisco's Chinatown in the 1880s in a back lot in South Africa, in Cape Town, like that. In what world do we as actors get the opportunity to do that? That was not lost on us. I mean, it was such an incredible experience and one that we hope we get to keep doing, you know, as long as the Netflix numbers come in and people binge and find and hopefully love our show as much as we do.
And Langley, same question.
Yeah, I really love being in a different age, different period. I really love being in a period piece, and I would go so far as to say I am a period piece. I love kind of immersing myself in the costumes, and our costume design was next level. It is next level. The set's incredible just to walk around in. You know, the sets that our amazing construction team designed and built, but also the, you know, historical buildings in and around Cape Town that we used. I certainly find that, you know, using those as a way in definitely helps as a way into finding the character. You know, I grew up, I suppose, like many, many young males of my age, you know, watching Westerns. And so, you know, there is that feel to it as well. The Western feel that you kind of, you know, you're all essentially in a Western, an Eastern Western. but it's, you know, it's been a joy to explore this character in this world. He's unlike any character I've ever played before. And, you know, I suppose one is also reminded how difficult it was to get dressed in that day and age. And geez, man, having to get your clothes off to have sex, it's impossible. So my character, when he eventually got to have sex, just kept his clothes on. It was easier.
That's usually my rule too, but it's mostly because I'm hideous to look at. So we'll leave it there. I wanted to ask Diane, because I know we were talking with Chen, and he was also, like yourself, in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You had a bit more of a story than he did, though, playing Korra. I mean, obviously a huge Marvel and DC fan. Talk a little bit, if you would, about being able to play in the Marvel Comics sandbox.
It was a dream. And I will say, when the day I wrapped season two, this is a little tidbit. The day I wrapped season two, I got the audition in for that maybe like a day or two before we wrapped. And I was still in makeup. I took my hair out because it was this big updo. And I made Joe come into this random cleared out green room that we had that was on the like Cape Town Film Studios lot. And I just begged him. I'm like, can you please help me put this on tape? Because they needed it. Like, it was moving so quickly, really. And I couldn't miss this opportunity to be on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I'm such a big fan of that cast and the showrunners as well. And so in my audition tape, which I'm sure I could find somewhere, is Joe Taslim's voice being, I think it was my scenes were with Chloe's characters.
Yeah.
You have to find that tape.
I have to find it. And it's so serious because the makeup is so intense. You know, it was like a warrior scene. I think we were in the carriage maybe. And I just pulled Joe aside and I'll give him credit. He helped me book that role. And I was on the flight.
Hang on. Whoa. Did you go into our carriage with another man?
No. But I think we did a scene. I would never do that, Langley. I would never. But I got on a plane the next day. As soon as I landed, the next day I was in to wardrobe and I started shooting that show. And I did that for a couple months. And what a stark, you know, polar opposite world to play in. And it was their last season. And I got to work with Kevin Tantarone, who directed the Big Westerns episode 5 or 6 in season 1.
5 in season 1, yeah.
Yeah, episode 5 in season 1, he did the season finale, the series finale of. So it was a real full circle moment, and the fact that I had superpowers, I mean, in what world did I ever think that I would be like a Marvel action hero?
I haven't seen it. What was your superpower?
I had like these light beams that shot this energy that shot out of my hands, but the way they would hook up, I have BTS photos and videos. Like I would just have these lights that shot out of my hands, and I was just this giddy child on set all day. Ming-Na was there with me. I was like, are you kidding me? Like the world, I couldn't be more. Yeah, it was such a fun show. And everyone was so kind, so nice. And thank you for bringing that up again.
Oh,
I like, I love living down memory lane. You know, it's so fun for me.
Well, like I said, I could talk to you for each one of you for an hour. So I'll have to have you on my radio show separately. And we'll talk about all things like that. I wanted to ask Langley, though, because you got to work with, I mentioned King Solomon's Mines. You got to work with the great Patrick Swayze, who we, you know, it was so sad when we lost him. Talk a little bit about working opposite him. And Allison Duty is another great actor. Talk a little bit about working on that particular project, if you could.
Yep. Patrick was the nicest man. He was just incredibly kind and incredibly thoughtful and respectful to everyone on set. Honestly, I can't speak highly enough about him. He was just a magical human being. He was a lot of fun to work with. And we spent months on that project together. So I learned a lot from him. I was a young actor. I was, still in my twenties, and I must say, I've never to this day seen anyone on set who could ride a horse like him. He had the most incredible sequence that he had to perform, where he had to be riding at full gallop into a camp. The bad guys' camp. I was one of a group of bad Russians who had kidnapped Allison Duty's character, and he had to swoop into our camp and pick her up and put her on his horse and gallop off again. And there was a stunt double provided for him, but he didn't need the stunt double. He rode himself at full gallop, pulling a Winchester repeater out of a scabbard and basically firing at us repeatedly, not holding onto the reins, just holding on with his legs at full gallop, putting the gun back, pulling the girl onto the back of his horse and riding off all in one shot. And they had to hire like a Russian Cossack horsewoman. The Cossacks, you know, like they're the most amazing horse riders on the planet. And basically had to get this amazing stunt woman to come and do Allison's stunt. And he got it on the first take.
Wow.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, it was nuts. And so when I say next level, he was amazing to watch. And, I have some other amazing, some really cool stories of, you know, He took me and Allison and our makeup artist out into the middle of the desert one night when Mars was at its brightest in 3,000 years, and we just lay down on our backs in the desert floor and just watched Mars as it kind of pulsated. It was amazing. It was a cool story and a cool experience. Cool guy.
My gosh.
Never forget him.
Again, I know our time has come to an end here, but it's been so great to talk to both of you. Like I said, we could do this for an hour each. Hopefully I'll get that chance at some point in the future. But just a reminder, Warrior is on Netflix as of February 16th. Binge all 3 seasons. Give it that 5-star review. And hopefully everyone will come back for a season 4 on Netflix. Diane and Langley, thank you both for your time today. It's been an absolute delight to talk to both of you.
Thanks, you
James.
So
great
much,
to talk
James.
To you.
Thanks. Be
great
well.
Pleasure.
Take care.
Have a great day.
You too.
Bye.
Bye. That's going to do it. Another show in the books. My huge thanks to the cast of Warrior, Karen Bu, Hoon Lee, Tom Weston Jones, Andrew Koji, Chen Tang, Jason Tobin, Olivia Cheng, Perry Young, Diane Doan, and Langley Kirk. What a great, great, incredibly talented bunch of individuals. Check out Warrior streaming on Netflix as of February 16th. You can get all 3 seasons, and hopefully we will get a 4th season. This would be an incredible, incredible thing to have happen. Check out Two Rivers Comic Con. We were very excited to bring you that. My huge thanks to Bugs Comics and Games. And of course, the historic St. Charles Visitors Bureau. That's discoverstcharles.com. Thank you, as always, to Joey V for making this show sound and look as good as it does each week. And until next week, my friends.
It's not in the way you watch I sound be. It's not in the way.
Thank you, San Francisco. Good night.